sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex.
Oof, okay, take two on sex with aliens.
Okay, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about sex with aliens.
Awesome. Oh, it's like... Whenever I think about this kind of thing, I think about Weird Science. What was her name? She was so beautiful. And it wasn't really about aliens. It was more about scientific stuff or something, I think. But
I don't remember if I actually saw that movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a cute movie. But anyway, we're going to talk about alien sex fantasies today. I got a text from Judy saying that there had been some UFO sightings in Duluth, and we have a running list of topics to talk about, and alien sex fantasies was on that list. And Judy mentioned it may be an appropriate time for us to record said podcast. So I was super excited to do that. And it's very interesting to me. It's considered a fetish. But there's also some really interesting psychological things behind it, which I found fascinating, as well as some other things that we'll talk about towards the end that I sort of had in the back of my mind that I solidified through my research and stuff for the podcast. So what do you think of when you think of alien sex fantasies, Judy?
I guess if you ask me that question out of the blue, I don't have any grand thoughts about it. It's not something I have heavily contemplated.
Yeah, I don't have fantasies about it either.
No, I can wrap my head around, like I can wrap my head around how that could be a thing, and you know, I think I could probably get into it if I really thought about it a little bit, but it's not something that is like, ooh, on my on my list. But I can sort of make sense of why it could be intriguing or fun, and or at least a fun contemplative fantasy or fetish. Yeah.
Well, you're a very open and accepting person, so that doesn't surprise me at all that you would be open to wanting to learn about it and stuff, or open to the fact that it exists. It's actually quite a popular search. It was reported by Pornhub last year, 2019, that alien sex was the second highest search in the search engine, which I found very, very fascinating.
Yeah, I guess that surprises me.
Yeah. So when I first think about it, I think about detachment from reality, like the whole fantasy. Anytime we have a fantasy, it's sort of a detached reality sort of scenario. Mm-hmm. And or the fact that it's very fiction based. Some people are very left brained, which means they're very in their mechanical, operational, process oriented kind of thinking versus the right side brain, which do I have that right? Is it left brain, right brain? Yes. Right brain is
more artistic, right?
Artistic, right. So, and the left side is more mechanical, process oriented, logical. So you have people with both sides. You have the imaginary, the people who have grand imagination, who look at it as a science fiction theme, or just the idea that it's fictional, because I can't say I don't know anybody that has had them, because I do know some people. I've never asked them the question about, you know, do they really believe that it could happen, or because I believe that there are aliens out, or another, there's another life form out there. I believe in that. I believe we would be silly to think that we are the only living things in the entire galaxy and galaxies beyond that. I'm sure that there's other life out there somewhere. And the idea that we could be being looked at versus us looking for somebody else, you know, in our limited thinking or our egocentric world where we think everything revolves around us, you know. The term, when you have these erotic fantasies around aliens and extraterrestrial things, it's called exophilia. And before people like turn away and say, oh, I don't want to hear about this, this isn't something that relates to me, please like try not to be judgy about it, because there's so much to this that even, you know, our dreams sometimes can turn into fantasies, or we have a dream about something and then we want to recreate it. I know I watched a hell of a lot of Star Trek and Next Generation, Star Trek. We watched Star Wars, you know, all of these things. And there's always like sexual themes in those. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. I was hot for Captain Kirk through watching all of Star Trek. And I really loved Jean-Luc Picard. I really loved his bald head. And his nose. He's got a beautiful nose. And a nose can do some things. I don't think that's what I was thinking when I was really like crushing hard on him. But now when I look at him, I'm like, oh, that nose can do some things. Yeah. So, you
awesome.
Know.
Oh, God. That's
as far as my alien fantasies have gone, they weren't even aliens. But
right. but it opens the door, right? The Star Trek and Next Gen and DS9, Deep Space Nine, yeah. You know, opens all of that, and it blurs the lines a little bit, right? Like,
sure.
I mean, my gosh, I can't think of a lot of specific storylines, but they were definitely there, and you know, and they were sexual beings. I mean, Quark, you know, Ferengis, if you know, you touch their ears, and oh my goodness,
oh, yes.
This happens, you know. So I actually
do my body that do that too.
Right, exactly. So it opened up an interesting conversation. It allowed sex. I'm curious to know, and I'm trying to remember because I've been at a lot of Star Trek conventions. If the alien sex was sort of allowed more than human sex, like I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm theorizing. Was
Absolutely.
This a way to have the discussion more so because it wasn't so direct, right? Like
because they didn't have belly buttons.
Right.
You weren't allowed to show your belly button back then, you know. So the fact that they didn't have belly buttons made them exotic.
That's true. They could run around naked.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Right. They didn't have to be clothed because they were aliens.
Right. Wow. That was nice of us not to foist our cultural norms on the aliens. Say, nope, sorry, you got to go to Target before you hop on this television show, Mr. Alien.
So, I mean, we have a lot of themes here that we see when we're dealing with.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, of course.
Exophilia. So tell me the definition of that. Like, what does that all cover? Is it just alien sex, or does it cover more of the distant, unreal? Like, does it cover like sex with ghosts and ghosts, not goats, just in case?
That's what I heard. So I'm glad that you fixed that.
I realized that it came out of my mouth just a little bit wrong.
Let's see. I'm going to actually read the definition.
I've heard weird and funky stories about people being haunted and then having sex with ghosts.
Okay. Exophilia. Here, of course, there's lots of definitions. It does include the paranormal world.
Okay.
Yes.
But it covers... So
it could be monsters. It could be... this is from Urban Dictionary. This is not the best source on the planet, but it's the most informational out of what I'm reading of the top couple. Okay. So exophilia is an attraction, generally sexual in nature, to new, strange, or otherworldly things such as extraterrestrial life forms, supernatural beings, robots, and other non-human things.
Okay.
So therein would be monsters or ghosts or anything like that. exophilia may be regarded as the sexual form of neophilia, which is the more generalized attraction to new or unknown things. Okay. So, and that kind of speaks to the creativity and imagination piece that I was that I had listed here, because it really, our minds are so incredible that to be somebody who's really like turned on by, okay, I can read an erotic novel. And if I read that erotic novel and the characters in the story were extraterrestrial, for me, it would be hard to follow. Don't know why.
Okay.
Just probably because I'm just not a sci-fi. I don't read sci-fi. It's not my thing. You know, I don't really, that's not really what does it for me. If I read just the erotic section and didn't have to read the entire plot and storyline around it, I'd probably be good to go. I'd probably be right on board. But setting up an entire scene around it and stuff like that, and it would have to be something that I really worked at. And I find usually that fantasies are something that come from inside. It's like it's something with your subconscious or something with just a thought process that keeps coming back to you. It's something that's kind of natural to you, not something you need to force.
Right.
Right. That's when we talk about a fantasy. Mm-hmm. So supernatural, extraterrestrials, the transcendent sex, that out of body experience type thing that people really strive for, a mystical experience, even the realm of like fairies and things like that would be in an exophilia kind of thing. Anything that's different or experiential, this is experiencing new things. So that would kind of go into that neophilia, where they want to be, where someone wants to do something that's completely different, that nobody else could ever even imagine or have been a part of, mm-hmm. because it's so new or strange or pioneering, or just the imagination is really at work about being on the forefront of something new and different. Mm-hmm. There's also the robotics. Robotics are also lumped into this. You know, our world is so technical. We have our devices. AI is there. You know, the sex dolls and stuff that they're making nowadays. There, some people are turning to their dolls in place of humans, and that is sort of along the lines of these sci-fi fantasies. It's a robot that is your girlfriend or
your sex partner. Yeah. Depending on how you define girlfriend.
But it's more than that, because they're teaching them to, they're teaching the computer, the robot, how to interact and say the things that will, you know, or to say intriguing things or to start conversation. And you can program it any way you want it, you know, depending on how much money you want to pay. Right. It could be an extraterrestrial AI sex doll, mm-hmm. you know, and be programmed with that sort of thing. So that all still falls into exophilia. Overall, these fantasies are the umbrella theme is around the idea of being abducted, helpless, and being a sexual guinea pig. Those are the umbrella themes through most alien sex.
Right. So it's not as intriguing if you went on a date with the alien and you came back and brought him back home. That's not as intriguing as being taken by them.
Yeah.
Right. Which mm-hmm. yeah.
So because we're talking about alien sex, we're not speaking specifically about the exo everything, because I wasn't really ready to talk about being fucked by a ghost, but. Right. That could be a whole other podcast,
right?
So, but we need to know that this is not a new concept at all. It dates proof dates way back to the 19th century in Japan, where they had blocks with art on them where women were being ravished by tentacled creatures.
Okay.
Okay. So this is not a new concept. It's something that's been around for a really long time. There's huge amount of fan base and awe, and it was highly controversial. in 1968 with Barbarella. And that was Jane Fonda, I believe. She was the alien sex bomb. And like we talked about, Star Trek, all the way from the beginning, sex was woven through many, many, many of those episodes, whether it was between the crewmates, whether it was between a crewmate and an alien from another ship or another planet, or it was about the creatures themselves and their reproduction and how they experience orgasms and stuff. Some of them had elaborate rituals, and some of them, it was just by touching your finger. The Ferengi you were mentioning, you know, if you touch their lobes of their ear, that was a sexual impulse. Mm-hmm. So the weirdness, the psychological odd piece to all of it, when you strip it all down and you strip it away, and I was telling you the umbrella themes, the part that's missing in an abduction, the alien abduction, this is like classic. You're abducted from your home, you're taken to another planet or a ship, you are experimented on, anally probed, implanted with a baby from an alien culture, something along those lines, and then you're put back in your bed and you wake up and you don't know what happened to you. Mm-hmm. That's like a classic alien fantasy.
Right.
And the part that's missing in all of that is enthusiastic consent.
Right.
When you boil it all down, it sounds kind of rapey.
Yes. Right. Well, right. So, but it's interesting because when you think of how many women are interested in having rape, most recently updated to ravishment fantasies, right?
Yes.
It kind of fits, but it's
62% of women self-report that being abducted and raped as a fantasy is part of their repertoire. Mm-hmm. 62% of women.
Yeah. But think about that. I mean, it's the intrigue. It's the being wanted and desired on some level, mm-hmm. but it's also a fantasy. So it's safe.
It's guilt-free. Mm-hmm. Guilt-free.
Yeah. Right. True. Yeah. Yeah.
Because of you. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think about some of this stuff, and one of the things that comes to my mind is that, I mean, it's a world of endless possibilities. The alien in your fantasy could look like anything. Mm-hmm. It could look like anything. It could be like a monster looking thing with tentacles, like in the Japanese woodblocks and, you know, the historical stuff. And to me, that looks like an orgy. That looks like a fantasy where somebody's looking to have their body touched by 8 different hands or pieces or something going all at the same time. That's kind of where you can kind of unravel that. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I wouldn't, in my mind, I wouldn't necessarily jump to orgy. That's the way we can get that experience here. But there is that if the alien has 8 tentacles, it's one being that is, say, touching you at the same time, right? Like, imagine, to me, it's the, if you're having either an orgy experience or a massage or whatever being done to you by multiple people, it's different bodies, different touches, right?
Yeah, let's see. The closest I've come to, I've come close to that. Okay.
But it's different people and it's different pressure, and that doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing, but I'm saying there's something interesting about having one being with its focused attention on you and having all of these touch points on your body, right? Like, I can see that could be, you know, you get the pleasure, you get the sexual pleasure with that's actually focused on your sex organs, and then you get all of the other erogenous zones on your body at the same time. Like, so to me, it's as much as that. That's, yeah, that, the way we can get. So I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg. If it's the way we can get that is by having an orgy, or, and therefore that's fulfilling that, and the alien can just do it better, to, you know, whatever better means. Or multiple beings, not a bad thing either. And I'm sure it's people dependent, right? But as opposed to their desires. And it's interesting to me that it's tentacles as well. Like, I read a book, and I think there's a movie that goes with it as well. And I do not remember what in the heck it was called, but it was about a woman being abducted. Mm-hmm. And the house, that basically the house was a computer, as I recall, like a machine, a computer system. I don't remember if it turned out to be an alien or not. I really don't. But it all of a sudden, you know, it had control. It was able to keep her in, and then it turned into a being for which was having sex with her. And if I recall correctly, it was
also, was it a movie called Entity?
Yes.
I watched that too.
Yes.
That was a hot movie.
I remember reading the book, and I watched the movie, and I was disappointed, as I usually am, disappointed in the book. Or the movie, as opposed to the book, but it's been years since I watched that. I remember snippets of it in my head, but I don't remember it very well.
I think that was a paranormal type thing where it was more of a ghost type spirit that came and had its way with the owner of, or the person in the house that was possessed or owned by the spirit. Yeah. Oh, I remember. I remember that movie. It's stuck in my brain. I'm going to have to look it up and watch it again now.
It was creepy. It was kind of creepy, though.
If we go down to some of these other things that are not normal or often found, I don't like the word normal, often found in alien fantasies, is the anal probing. Mm-hmm. So anal probing is, it's totally, it's a fetish. Anything having to do with outside of the vagina vulva area is considered a fetish. So anal play is a fetish. So, and I only say that because I want to break down the wall about people thinking that your sexual desires and stuff make you a pervert or make you a deviant of some kind. Because unless you're only having missionary sex, you are indulging in some fetish on the spectrum of 0 to 100%.
Right.
That, because that is the only way to have sex that is not considered fetishized in some, you know, in another fashion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just, it's missionary sex. And I guess that stems probably from Bible roots or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, certainly. Certainly. I know I grew up in, you know, a Missouri synod, and that was very much taught oral sex was bad. Anything not missionary was wrong.
Well, Judy sends me a lot of interesting stuff. She sends me newspaper articles and things where it was the Catholic schoolgirls.
Oh,
that took it in the ass all the time because that didn't make them not virgins.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, the Garfunkel and Oates song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe there's a lot more people who like anal sex as a result of that because they're using a coping and settling mechanism to get around the system and to indulge in ass play versus vagina play in order to keep their sexuality intact for the person they marry.
Right.
Or in the eyes of God, or to save judgment from their families, you know?
And then my question would be, if that's their coping mechanism later in life, is that something they enjoy or something they despise? Right.
Yeah,
like, I think in the Garfunkel and Oates video, in my recollection, there was one of them was enjoying it a lot more than the other one was. The other one was putting up with it. You know what I mean? And that's part of the deal, right? Is it a good experience or is it a bad experience? And are you just putting up with it to make, you know, in the Catholic school scenario, to make the other person, yeah, happy and to be able to have this sexual connection without losing your virginity, quote unquote.
Right. Yep. And then, so anal probing is something, and this is a fantasy for men and women. And I just want to put in there that, you know, us ladies, we need to be willing to stick some fingers up a man's ass from time to time, because it's if they want it, obviously, or if they're willing to experiment, because it's an incredible sensationary place for a man, and his prostate is there, and it just maximizes the orgasms, and it's a totally different type of orgasm. And if, as a woman, you've ever had anal sex and been able to come from anal sex, you can understand that it's a whole nother playground, you know, and it's exciting and different and fun. It adds a little mystery and intrigue and might make your man not dream about and fantasize about anal probing if you're going to be probing him. I'd rather have him fantasizing about an alien probing him than, say, the girl next door. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, basically it's sexual. It's a sexual thing. It's just that they're looking for penetration in the ass and to be experimented on against their will, or to be forced to do something that's naughty, you know, the whole taboo thing. 'Cause it's really about just sort of, you know, getting into those fantasies around taboo subjects. Fucking an alien is not something that would be considered socially acceptable. And then we get into the next thing, which is impregnation.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's an interesting one, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I'm fascinated by this one, men and women. I mean, if you're being impregnated by an alien and you're a man, it obviously could happen. Or they wouldn't do it because they're smarter than we are. So maybe that's where the whole idea of male in vitro came from, was maybe some guy got impregnated by an alien and then realized his body could actually carry a child in a sack of some kind that was not, you know, not there before. So
that is just, the idea of getting pregnant by an alien just sounds far more scary than intriguing. Like, I understand, again, that whole if you wake up and it's not there kind of concept. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, you know, it depends on how you perceive pregnancy, perhaps, or, mm-hmm. or how that is an excitement to you, right?
To be pregnant, perhaps having not being able to get pregnant or having experienced loss around pregnancy.
Right.
That deep desire, again, in our subconscious, we have these ideas and things that we plant in our brain through our thoughts. So if you're constantly telling yourself, gosh, I want a baby, gosh, I want a baby, boy, I'd love to have a baby at whatever cost, you know, however that would happen. And then bam, all of a sudden you start developing these alien sex fantasies where you're being impregnated. You know, for men, it's a little more challenging. For men, it's a little more challenging for them to even do the role play and stuff around an alien fantasy, because we'll talk about that in a bit. But for a woman, there's whole lines of sexual fetish toys around the idea of alien penetration and being impregnated. There are these actual sleeves that have these eggs that of various sizes that the toy delivers into your vagina and plops an egg in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know about these.
And it's about the feeling of fullness. And the, you know, your Kegel muscles would be engaged in holding the egg up inside of you. It's not a Kegel. It's not, you know, it's not like, not a Kegel. It's not one of the jade eggs or the yoni eggs. But it's a sort of along that idea. This is an egg but it's put way up inside of you. And then you're just meant to hold it there.
Interesting. Okay.
Carry the baby.
Right.
So that's an interesting one. That can be done by a singular person. However, the toy, I think it's Ovi dildo, I think is what it was called. I'll have to find it, but it's suggested that it's done with a partner.
Okay.
And I find that that's interesting too, because maybe for couples who perhaps can't have children, that it might be some sort of fantasy play between the two of them where the man can be an extension and just sort of be doing a delivery. I, you know, the psychology behind it is what I really, really, it fascinates me. it absolutely fascinates me.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be interesting to know what people do with that and where it, you know, where is the draw for that for them? Where is the full, what piece is the fulfillment?
Yeah. Then there's the exposure part. So if you want to be an alien, because some people want to be the alien and some people want to be fucked by the alien. So to do more of the cosplay role play thing and make yourself into an alien, paint your body, add appendages, you know, get creative with a cardboard box, add fake boobs or something to a different part of your body. Maybe you've got boobs on your back instead of boobs on the front, or, you know, just getting creative that way.
Right.
And this is more about the imagination, about being somebody you're not, and about pushing the norms and not having to conform to society's rules.
Right.
So that's the psychology behind that.
So the interesting thing about the alien too, the whole alien piece is that not knowing, it's the stranger, right? Like these are abductions. So you're not, it's that distance. It's that, like you kind of mentioned in the beginning, it's that removal from reality, but it's that distance that you have from this being. This being is wanting you for whatever their agenda is, and you are that, yeah, that being that is, like you said, being experimented on or being played with or sexually, just the sexual experience of having that.
When you think of an alien being, what comes to your mind? I'm pretty blasé. I come up with the gray skinny things with the big eyes and the long fingers.
That's the first thing I think of, but that's not what I think of for some reason when I attribute it to aliens. Like, that's my first image for alien.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of alien sex, I think more, I guess, the little, a little more of the tentacle side of the being that you almost don't even fully see. And I don't know, that's an interesting thing now that you're saying that. Why do I think that? Maybe because I can't totally imagine having sex with the alien with the big eyes.
Right.
Yeah. I don't.
If I were to put myself in a fantasy with aliens, it would be very similar to some of my kink fantasies, which have been, I never really thought about the abduction part, although I have had abduction fantasies where I just wanted to be swooped up and taken away. Mm-hmm. And then just have your way with me, and then, you know, but don't hurt me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Like, feed me. I want my food, but, you know, and if you're going to fuck me with a bottle, make sure that it's, you know, intact. Don't hurt me.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when I'm thinking of an alien fantasy, I would totally be probably in one of those more normal things that you see in movies and stuff, where you're just kind of on the metal table and strapped down, and then there's all these beings around you, multiple beings I would envision, and they don't have sex organs.
Yeah.
I'm curious about mine.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a yes. Okay. That you're putting words to my thoughts, I think, a little bit. That, yeah, I don't think of them so much as sexual beings.
Yeah.
It's not traditional sex that you're mm-hmm. having.
But they're so fascinated by me and the fact that I have this.
Right.
They want to know how it works.
And that they're poking and prodding, and then they're like, ooh, that's exciting. Yeah. What happens when we do that?
That makes her do this. Ooh, that took her breath away. Ooh, that made her moan. Ooh,
right.
You know, or not so much about like biopsying me or seeing how far they can shove something up inside of me, or, you know, maybe. I don't know. You know, this isn't really something that I've ever personally experienced. Not to say that it wouldn't be fun to, you know, if I knew of an event or a party or something where they were going and the theme was alien sex, I could totally get into a role. Mm-hmm. I'm very good at role play. And it's when you like role play, it's really good to have a partner that's into role play too, so that you have each other to bounce off of, or at least enjoy the excitement of preparing, because you'd have to prepare for something like that. You know, you have to decide what your character is going to be. You have to pick what color skin you're going to have and have somebody help paint your back or, you know, whatever. It would be fun to do. It would be fun. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
But, yeah.
I don't think that the aliens ever communicate with me. Like, I never know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that isn't part of it too. Like the non-committal piece. Mm-hmm. That it's just going to happen once and put you back. And then they'll just be watching you and monitoring your life. Kind of like being tagged with a chip, a microchip, like we do with animals. Mm-hmm. And that they're just watching from afar and watching your responses. And not that it's an ongoing thing. Although some people say that they come back for them multiple times in their life. That might be hot.
Mm. Yeah.
A boyfriend on another planet.
Right, you know? Exactly. Well, and I...
You again, okay.
Yeah, right. Well, and I...
You're not going to hurt me. I know you're going to put me back. You know, everything's going to be okay. I can get into it a little more this time.
Right. And I think that's to me, a lot of it. It's a lot of what are the intentions and what are the... If the intention isn't to hurt me, if the intention, you know, it's a good and happy, nice, kind and gentle alien, it's more interesting to me than than I'm just here to use you as a science experiment alien.
But it makes me look at the whole thing as just sort of a fluffed up version of a BDSM fantasy.
Yeah.
Being bound, having somebody, their intention is to make you come, make you get to subspace, make you say your safe word, you know, but you still have a part in that. You still have that enthusiastic consent piece where you're submitting to somebody to do that to you. But when you take it all down, it's like the mad scientists back in the 50s and 60s on the old movies and old TV shows, you know, the mad scientists who were working in their labs and stuff. That's kind of how, because, you know, the aliens all talk to each other without words and they're all connected to this.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's so interesting to me.
It is interesting. Diving into it more, it's fascinating. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of movies where, like, other movies maybe that has dove into that on a level.
Let's see, Alien, mm-hmm. where the baby alien comes out of one of the crew members' stomach.
Yeah.
That's a big one, as in the movies, when something just kind of slithers up inside somebody, because your vagina or your ass or your nose or your ears, mm-hmm. is your pathway to your insides in some way, whether they're going up into your brain and then down, or up inside and then further up, or however. Just the idea that you have holes and something can get in there. We have lots of holes.
I'm watching the alien movie. That's like, yep. And that's why I wouldn't want to be impregnated by an alien, because if it doesn't come out nicely, that's just some pile of nastiness. No, thank you. that doesn't end fun.
There is a well-known, some people call themselves the universe's best sex workers for aliens, people who have been repeatedly visited. This is kind of going back to that. There's this man, he's the most well-known man for alien abduction. His name is Peter Corey. And he claims that two alien women, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. One of whom looked Nordic and the other looked Asian, came to him in his bed naked and forced themselves on him. He accidentally bit off the Nordic's nipple, causing the two to vanish but not without leaving a strange piece of blonde hair wrapped around Corey's foreskin.
Oh.
Scientific testing suggests that it came from one of the rarest human lineages. So he actually turned in this piece of hair and it linked back to some very old Nordic rare human lineages.
Dude.
Strange.
Yeah.
There's another guy, Simon Parks, a city councilor in the United Kingdom, claims to have had ongoing sexual relationships with an alien woman called the Cat Queen, who gave birth to a daughter he named Zarka. You know, so there's a man in New Jersey named David Huggins who claims to have an extraterrestrial named Crescent and a small gray baby fathered by another alien that's his human partner, and a woman who met her four alien children during an abduction with a Chinese man who had levitated sex for 40 minutes with an alien woman. And then there's a Brazilian farmer who impregnated an alien by letting her bite his chin.
Oh,
I mean, these are some very, very interesting and very specific stories. This was published in Playboy. There's 50 or so half alien children born from David Huggins, the one who had the ET named Crescent. 50 or so half alien children. So he's very fertile.
Interesting. Wow. Well, if we go back, and it's been a while since I've read any of this, but if we go back and there's aliens in the Bible, depending on,
That's true.
So it's, and I believe in the, I went to a thing on that once, and do I remember correctly? I don't know if you know this or not, but do you remember the aliens in the Bible actually did have children on Earth so that some of us are descendants of these aliens, which as I'm thinking about this might explain my medical weirdness. Maybe that's what's going on.
Medical weirdness.
Look, I don't respond to pills. The amount of times that I've gone in and say, this thing hurts, and they go, well, like my ears, I've got this ear hurts really, really bad. That ear looks fine, but your other ear, however, is inflamed. I had that happen with my in-ear infection. I had that happen when I had my ears pierced. The one ear hurt and the other one's going, well, this one's the one that's red. That one looks fine. And I've had stuff like that happen multiple times. So I am either built backwards or an alien descendant. An alien descendant sounds way cooler.
Yeah, it does. Here's another fantasy that I hadn't read before. This one is about being turned into a human cow.
A human cow. How does that work?
This is a popular fantasy. Some psychologist asked 4,000 people about their fantasies, and this was one that came up in the top of being specifically force-fed hormones to make breasts swell, that she would lactate continuously, and be tied up where people could come and use her as a human milk machine and have sex with her at will. Mm. That one sounds interesting.
That is very interesting. It's just so this fascinating.
There's a whole porn genre devoted to women with cow bodies to get milked. Okay, now I know about milking as a fetish, mm-hmm. and I've actually been approached by somebody who was into milking fetishes. This was a while ago, and he had milking machines, and he would attach them to women's breasts to try and get them to lactate.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. The other one is the human doll, where they just are put somewhere as a toy for the aliens.
Mm.
Another one is getting eaten alive.
Ooh,
that's kind of gory.
That doesn't sound good to me.
No, me either. And here we go again, being overtaken by tentacles.
Mm.
What the heck is with this tentacle thing?
Well, but you think about it, it's like
the suction and the
end. Yeah, well, and like, yeah, I mean, you think of the dildos, right? I mean, it's in and penises and whatever. It's just like an extension, a longer extension of that, where maybe you have more control over it or not. Or maybe they're, of course, in alien fantasies, they're going to be good, right? Like, they're going to know what to do, right? So,
because aliens are so much smarter than we are.
Well, you know, if somebody's interested, look, if somebody is interested in you, your body and your reactions versus them just getting off, it's a totally different experience. So yeah, if the alien, true. If the tentacle, the fun for the alien is to give you the enjoyment with this tentacle, right? I mean, yeah. I can make sense of that. I can make some sense of that. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, for me, my orgasms are not necessarily found in the vagina, mm-hmm. as most women, right? So utilizing, and if guys would just figure this out a little bit more and not resist that, because some guys will really resist that of utilizing their, you know, utilizing their penis to give you enjoyment. Some guys figure that out really, really well. And some guys are like, yeah, no, not interested. Get it in there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the whole, and it can be pleasurable for them too. I mean, it's also to bring pleasure to them. It's not just necessarily a selfish act. So I'm just thinking, I don't know. I can imagine that a tentacle could be a fine thing.
Well, they do make dildos that look like octopus tentacles.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
They do make them. And so they're ribbed and they have the bumps just like and they're kind of curved like it's a tentacle in motion kind of a thing.
Okay, sure.
They're out there. So all of you people who want to be fucked by a tentacle, there are toys out there just for you. Right. And they come in different colors and all kinds of fun stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was how you can, if you find out that your partner has an alien fantasy, how can you do role play and kind of try to fulfill that fantasy for your partner? And because this is a far out fantasy. This is one of those ones that you can't just call somebody and have your girlfriend come over for a threesome. Right. You know, so...
This might be actually way safer in a lot of ways because you're not involving anybody else or their emotions or jealousies of it's something that isn't there most likely.
Right. And I want to encourage people to be using their imaginations and their five senses to pull things in, you know, to, you know, if you wanted to rearrange your bedroom or something to make it look scientific, you know, maybe lay a white sheet over your bed so it looks like a medical thing, or have shiny instruments on a tray, you know, something like that. To replicate tentacles, maybe you use rope and you tell your partner that, you know, or you just use rope, like a tentacle is being attached to a wrist and it's being tied down, or use the rope between their legs and kind of slide it over the cock and balls or the clit or whatever. I mean, there's different ways to do the dragging it across the skin. Like there are different ways that you can think outside the box. Once you know what somebody's fantasy is, you know, mm-hmm. have them give you as much detail as possible and then try and incorporate some of that stuff into some sort of role play. And I bet your partner would really, really find the effort to be, if nothing else, endearing and a way to connect. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes just getting outside of your own way and not... being intentionally supportive of your partner's wants, needs, desires, and not worrying so much about your own can really show a place of openness and vulnerability that that your partner will see as an act of love. So, because there are ways to do this. If you wanted to abduct somebody, you know, if it's really about abduction, maybe an abduction fantasy, like a role play, would be enough, you know. Or maybe you abduct them and you take them out to the garage and put them on a tray, and you know that's where your I don't know. You could put tin foil on the walls.
If you got a massage table, you could put it tin foil on that. If you really wanted to do the tin foil metal thing.
What was it on? Netflix? The Sex Education. There's a show called Sex Education, and one of the characters loved alien sex stuff, and so they made like a canopy that looked like a womb in their room out of sheets and chiffon and stuff. So it was all kind of very soft, and then all over the floor was pillows and blankets, and it just looked like a womb.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then they were dressed all kinds of intergalactic. And I mean, sometimes if you did something like that, all you'd have to do is like grind on each other and come and make it intergalactic sex versus the normal sex.
Creating that environment. Yeah. There was I don't know if this hotel exists anymore, but there was a hotel, I want to think it was Blaine in Minnesota, called the Fanta Suites.
They have a
room with a spaceship that has a round bed and a mirror on the ceiling. And, you know, you could utilize that. One of my gifts, I don't know if I've told you this story. One of my gifts from one of my jobs that I left years ago, my departing gift was a double-headed, really long dildo.
No. Oh my gosh.
Given to me in a restaurant, no less.
Oh my God. Wowie.
It was hard to leave that job. And I'm thinking that, there you go. Like that could be, you know, if the person, you could turn that into a tentacle, just thinking back to the tentacle thing, right? Like
the double-ended dildo, they're really long. Sometimes you can get them in all different lengths, but they're meant to be used obviously by two people at the same time. So you could even bend that in half and make it like the alien has two dicks.
Oh yeah, there you go. Right.
Two projectiles. They don't have to be penises. You call them.
Right. Well, and if you had the person, if their eyes were closed, if that was part of the deal for them, then you've got even more to work with, because then it's not the actual object, it's the sensation of the object.
Yeah. And, you know, you can create noises from like egg beaters or your coffee machine, or, you know, just like weird noises going in the background. You can find intergalactic soundtracks and stuff on your computer and have kind of spacey kind of music going, maybe some twinkle lights to be like stars. I mean, just really have some fun with it and just, I think a sense of humor would be important if you're trying to do it. If you're trying to do it and it's not really your thing, I would hope that you'd have a sense of humor about it. Like that you're trying your best to set it up to please your partner, and you're going to have fun with it. Because being enthusiastic about the whole scene will add intent to you wanting about you wanting to bring your partner pleasure, you know. Mm-hmm.
But maybe not taking yourself too seriously. So right. If it goes weird, you know.
Hey, I tried, and it was kind of fun to do it, and I was thinking of you the whole time. It was all foreplay, you know. I've been thinking about this for weeks, and you know. On the flip side, you know, if your partner were to happen to not receive it well, or to be critical or judgmental, that could be a blow. So again, that's why I would hope that you'd have a good sense of humor, and that you and your partner are at least at a place where you are open enough to be experimenting and trying some different things, and that they'd appreciate the effort.
Right. And that's where having those conversations beforehand in, again, a light way can be helpful. Because I know, you know, hearing stories of people who have taken role playing too seriously on either end, you know, it needing to be so specific, and it being an anger thing. You know, I mean, it's it's if it's an uncomfortable thing for you, you know, if you are really comfortable with role playing and everybody's comfortable with it and you don't feel silly, but you can really like put your vulnerability, you know, let it shine and just get into what you're doing and really feel. That's so helpful too, is being able to put each other at ease, because you're potentially in a space where you might not be comfortable, your partner might not be comfortable. How can you kind of talk through that so that you can both come through it in a good way and nobody ends up, you know, feeling horrible or hurt at the end of it, because it is especially if it's something really, really new for somebody and this is like their first thing, which in some ways this could be
a really good introduction.
It could be, right? Because you're taking
Zoom out and there's nothing human about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So to me it seems like it could have that level of safety with it in getting into things, because you can take your brain out of it, or the connection that you have to it out of it.
Yeah.
That is all so fascinating.
Amazing stuff. I don't know. I just don't really think about aliens that much. It's just not really something that I'm really that fascinated with, me personally. But it was super, super cool to be looking at this stuff and be like, hey, you know, if I wanted to do this, if I ever met somebody who was into this. Mm-hmm. I could so totally pull it off as an attempt to fulfill the fantasy.
Yeah, I think that if I had somebody who was like really, it would be a curiosity as to, okay, what does that mean? And then and what does that look like? And I could see that I could probably get into that.
Let's talk about this gentle piece, this gentle introduction thing. Mm-hmm. If somebody's vulnerable enough to share with you, say you're in a relationship, and my husband told me, you know, I have alien fantasies. I'd like to be fucking a female alien and let them do all this kind of stuff to me. Then every time he's watching Star Trek, I can't be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as a man saying, I like Asian women, which my ex-husband told me he would drool over women that had really dark hair and that was poker straight. And it was often Asian women. And one day I went out and got a box of black hair dye, dyed my hair, straightened it all out, cut my bangs across the top, had it done nicely. But it was not the best look for me. I looked like a total goth. And when he came home from work that day, he's like, what the hell did you do? And I'm like, well, I thought you liked women with dark hair. And he was pissed. He was pissed that I tried to emulate what his fantasy was.
Interesting.
Well, again, but this was a narcissistic man. I could never win no matter what I was doing.
Yeah. But it is curious to me. It's curious to go, okay, was that something he wanted? He was okay to keep at arm's length. Do you know what I mean? I'm attracted to Asian women, but that doesn't mean I need to
have.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
It makes it that non-committal, non-guilt. It's way over there kind of thing.
Yeah.
Alien fantasy would might never happen, and therefore it makes it okay to fantasize about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. I'm just thinking about your particular situation. It's just a curious thing to understand the wait a minute. I didn't mean for you to bring that home. You know, I come home and here you are. What do I do with that? So it does it make it real in some way, or that's a whole nother.
Well, the fact that I wasn't Asian, I think kind of.
Yeah. Well, right. Especially if it is Asian women, not Asian. Just the dark hair. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's interesting. No, I don't know. It's a very intriguing thing. And it's, you know, again, some of these discussions that we're having here, it has the purpose of the exposure, the discussion, what does this mean? How do we process this? And so it's interesting to hear where people are coming from with that, I think.
There's a show right now on, I think it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Carnival Row.
Okay.
And it's about these cross-cultural kind of romantic things where human men are drawn to fairies to have sex with.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's a lot of sex in this. And it shows a lot of that sort of cross. And I think, you know, I just wonder if it isn't just about the idea of having sex with something that's exotic.
I was going to say that in the beginning and forgot that was exactly a curiousness to me of, is it just it's the different and exotic and unusual.
I'm going to share something here and I'm going to give you full liberty of whether you leave it in or you take it out. But from working with sex workers here in Minnesota and knowing quite a few of them and knowing what I ask them a lot of questions because we have a lot of conversations around what's going on, what they're doing, what they see, what they experience and stuff like that. When an African-American sex worker comes on the scene here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. she is sought after for a long time. And it's basically because it's so exotic mm-hmm. to be with a African-American dark-skinned woman in a place where it's primarily blonde-haired, blue-eyed, middle American, conservative, button-up culture here.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying that a Black woman coming to Minnesota is like an extraterrestrial visiting, but I'm talking about the exotic factor. Mm-hmm. The idea of being with someone that you normally wouldn't, or that, you know, do you know, you understand what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
no, I totally understand exactly what you mean. Yeah, no, I mean, I think we see that what makes some of the celebrities or some of the people from other countries interesting, whether they're on TV or whether they show up as a foreign exchange student in our high school class, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, the mystery. And this is one of the things that I'm trying to nail down. I'm trying to put together a course for women on how to engage with their men and keep them sexually happy and engaged in their relationships. And part of this is around mystery and intrigue. And I see it all the time with the fascination with what's unfamiliar. Often when we're in relationships and everything becomes ho-hum and it's the same all of the time, the one or both partners start to look outside of the marriage for something that's exciting and fun and new and shiny. And that new thing isn't always necessarily an answer to a problem. It's just new and shiny and fun and different and experiential, transcendent, you know, extraterrestrial. We can interchange all this stuff, supernatural, whatever, because it's so different. It trips the triggers in all those fantasy boxes of trying something new and is it different?
Yeah.
What's so appealing about this? Or how do they do it differently? Or, you know, anything along those lines. There's so much variety right here in the United States that we really don't have to go to another planet to find new ways to have sex or new ways to relate with people or learn new things about ourselves and about energy or about tantra or chakras or hypnosis or any of those kind of things. We can play with each other in fascinating ways in our human form. Mm-hmm. But alien sex and alien fantasies, they are a very, very real thing. So
right.
It's interesting to peel back and just kind of think about.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I was thinking too of the curiousness of in exactly the exotic piece of that sort of how does it's sort of, we have this tribal thing that we are, you know, that is part of our history. Mm-hmm. But the intrigue of being outside that tribe, like that, the intrigue of wanting to have sex or connect with somebody outside that tribe, that it's exotic. It's an interesting polar dissonance in that whole thing a little bit too. I was thinking about, as you were saying, that the keeping the intrigue and stuff, you know, how just these discussions, you know, like you're saying, to bring up for somebody to bring up, I'm interested in, I have alien fantasies, all of these things are, how do we create space in our relationship for, what am I trying to say?
I don't know. I'm slightly distracted by alien porn right now.
Oh, I love it.
I didn't actually look up alien porn until just this second.
Oh, that's hilarious.
See what's there. And yeah, there's quite some erotic things going on my phone. That down. That's why I can listen fully. I apologize for being distracted. Might be something to give a look to. I mean,
right? Yeah, no kidding, eh? Is it actually people or is it the designed sort of video game porn?
There are people with, the tentacle one here, Untamed Alien, Tentacle Deep Throat. There's a woman who is being taken by a ginormous big tentacle thing. Yep. Oh dear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's that. And then there's a lot of medical, you know, where they're strapped down and they're being looked at and it looks like they're in a morgue.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that alien porn and medical play could really find an intersection there.
And then there's a lot of cartoonish kind of stuff. Aliens fucking plants, you know, I mean, like
fucking plants,
just insertion. Basically, it's a lot of insertion is what it really looks like. Mostly mummification. So being wrapped up, having silicone and stuff all like lube all over the body, like a jelly.
Mm.
Nasty, gross. Make sure you put down a tarp if you want to do something.
Yeah, right.
But there's some really cool ideas on here. I mean, I'm going to put my phone down, like I said. I'm getting all hot and bothered. I think this might be a good place to stop this one. I may have to take a break for a few minutes.
All right.
getting hot in here.
It's so, getting hot in here.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But all right.
Well, there you go. Alien porn. So that's
hopefully if anybody was abducted by the UFOs that came by in Duluth, that they were abducted and fucked silly and had some great orgasms and they were put back to bed with a smile.
And yeah. And hopefully have a little, you know, just enough of a memory of a good time.
Yeah. Just a hair.
At least, you know,
reoccurring dream that they can go back to and visit from time to time in their head. That would be cool too.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't it be fascinating if we, you know, sometime in our lifetime, the aliens come and visit us and we're like, there's no doubt anymore. It's just like, yeah. They're like, oh yeah, that dude over there, that article. Oh yeah, well, I was totally that guy. I was totally that guy that abducted that guy, you know, that alien that abducted that guy. Like we could just throw it out there. I don't know, but we could be somebody's little science experiment and they're watching us and going, what do they do if this happens?
Well, it was funny. We did it. This is a take two of this. The first time we did it, Judy's computer glitched on her and I thought she was abducted by an alien while we were recording. So on that note, we're going to say, do we need to do what's going on with us right now?
Yes. Yes. Let's
going on right now. Right now, I am in the middle of an energy shift. I have switched from being a slug to being a productive human being again.
Congratulations.
We're still in quarantine. So this is week 4 of quarantine. And it feels like 4 months at this point for me. So I rearranged my office. I shifted my energy. I'm dedicating more time to my office and trying to be more present for my business, trying to get myself geared up to start writing book 3. Even though book 2 isn't out yet, I know it will take me probably a solid year to write book 3, so I need to get started on it anyway. I do not have any offers or anything going on right now, but my book is available on Amazon, Crossing the River Called Suffering. And I am working on a I'm working on a Facebook group, a webinar kind of sign-in sort of thing for couples and women, especially more so women, but couples could benefit from it as well, about how to engage your partner and have mind-blowing sex. So I am going to be focusing a lot on blowjobs and how worshiping a man's cock is an amazing way to keep your man engaged in your relationship. So that is something that's going to be coming very soon for me. And that'll be something that you sign up for and watch through a webinar format on Facebook.
Nice.
That's what I have going on right now.
Okay. Yeah. And they can get your, they can get your book through going to wellness, or not going to Wellness Friends, to going to sexmatterspodcast.com and click on your book and then, and go through that. And that actually does take them to Amazon. So,
yep.
So yes, you can find Crossing the River Called Suffering there too. And Wellness Renaissance, the podcast weekly. My last week discussion was about why the alcohol stores are open, and I've gotten some really good feedback about that one. So yeah. That's been good. And yeah, some interesting stuff coming up. WellnessRenaissancePodcast.com. Check it out. Sign up. Check in. See what's going on. Yeah, find me there. Find me at sexmatterspodcast.com as well. You can find us both there. Send in your questions, your curiosities. And I did put up, by the time this airs, quote unquote, my plan is to put up a resource page. And so if people want to put in some resources, I'm starting with just kind of a list of things that we run into that are for parents with teaching kids about sex and sexuality and talking to kids about sex and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to put other resource lists up there as well. Things that I would actually love to see is people who have physicians who are sex positive, who they feel are easy to talk about sex, sexuality, being a trans person. I know that maybe those people are easier to find. And I know in some areas they are, but I know a conversation that I was involved in years ago, but recently again, it got brought up that the conversation years ago was basically that LGBT, it didn't even have to be, it was just people who wanted to really talk about an issue they were having sexually that they thought their doctor should be involved in, and their doctor was so uncomfortable to have it that they were like, you know, there's no resource for doctors that you can talk about sex to, you know, that are okay and don't freak out about it. I know they're out there. They have to be out there, but who are they? So if people have had good experiences and you're in an area that you feel like it's not rich for that, feel free to, again, you can throw up the resource. We're not going to put your name out about who's putting that up there or anything.
Absolutely.
If you are that resource, if you are that physician, that doctor, that healthcare professional that is totally sex positive and comfortable, feel free to throw your name out there. Because
yeah, that would be good. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Alrighty. Well, that was that.
Until next time, as long as we don't get abducted permanently by aliens. And if we do, and we come back, party on. Well, like I said, if the aliens take me, I'll come back and get you, unless they're jerks, and then I'll leave you here and I'll just tell you stories about them.
Okay, sounds good. All right, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.